Its current state on 90.5 WKAR. Voters will make important school funding decisions tomorrow in Lansing and a number of other mid-Michigan districts. Those include Grand Ledge, Eaton Rapids, Williamston, and others. In the capital city, taxpayers are being asked to renew a non-homestead millage that's expiring. In just a few minutes, we'll discuss the measure with a supporter, Lansing School Board President Peter Spadafor. In Grand Ledge, voters will decide on a proposal for a $60 million bond that would fund safety and security improvements, technology, transportation, and other renovations. The 1.95 mills would add $83 a year to the tax bill of the owner of a home valued at $100,000. Proponents, including our next guest, say approval of the bond means Grand Ledge would still have the lowest millage rate in the area. Let's learn more with Grand Ledge School Superintendent Brian Metcalf. Brian, welcome to Current State.
Good morning, Mark. It's great to be here.
In your mind, is there an urgency to getting this additional revenue?
You know, I think it is a very urgent matter. We have a number of issues across the district that we're going to address with this millage. And we talk about safety and security and today's environment. We have multiple levels of safety and security that we're putting in place with this bond. In fact, it's probably one of the greatest expenditures of the bond money. But additionally, we also have money there for technology, as you'd mentioned, and that's probably the second largest piece of the bond, and we're moving towards a one-to-one initiative for our students. And we know if students are going to be career and college ready in the future, we've got to have them ready to use technology, and they have to not only be able to use it in the workplace, but they have to learn with it as well.
Do you consider the safety and security piece, though, the centerpiece of this bond proposal?
You know, it is in a number of ways. First of all, we're going to have new safety devices in each and every classroom. We're going to have safety devices at every building, and including more safety initiatives in each of the offices so that when visitors or anybody's coming to the building, they are actually going into one of the main offices to be greeted by one of our employees. So, yes, it is probably the number one most important aspect of this bond issue.
Still, almost 80% of the revenue it would raise would go to investments other than safety and security, including a new arts center. And comments on social media suggest some number of people won't support it because it includes too many extras. They say things like the safety and security items I'm okay with, but less so for arts and athletics. When you meet someone who feels that way, what do you tell them?
You know, there's a couple of things that I normally address. First of all, the bond is going to touch students in multiple ways. There are some small athletic pieces. There are some small arts pieces in there. And when we look at an overall education, we know it has to be well-rounded because we're trying to get students engaged in all kinds of ways to make them better students. And I think we all know somebody that back in high school or, you know, even a student now that is a great athlete or loves the drama and does the play productions. However, if it wasn't for those athletics or it wasn't for the drama, the student would not be engaged as a student. And that's our number one goal is to get kids to graduate and then move into a vocational or a college setting. So any of the extras that we have in there, that's to support their overall student learning.
That's very important. Are you confident the measure will pass?
You know, I hear quite regularly from our citizens, our parents, community members that they are very, very positive about this bond. We have minimalized the athletic pieces. We've minimalized the extra pieces. That's why I said a good deal of it goes straight to the safety, security, and technology. We also have busing improvements, and that's very important. Last year, we had to eliminate some busing due to the decreased general fund from the state of Michigan. We're operating about $5 million less per year now than we did 4 years ago. And so we've reduced some of that busing, but this bond is going to help us to buy new buses and hopefully reinstate some of those stops that we had to cut last year. And the other piece that that we talk about, and it's probably maybe as important or more important than safety security, is some of the operations pieces. We've got some different mechanical units across the district, and I'll give you two examples. One's up at Wacoosta Elementary. We've got 8 rooftop units up there, and this past winter, we had a maintenance person on the roof almost every day, either fixing or restarting one of those rooftop units. And the problem with that is we actually had classrooms that were 52 to 60 degrees multiple times throughout the year, and I've got 6th graders sitting there in their winter coat shivering instead of learning math and writing and doing the educational things we need to do with them.
Great.
Likewise, we've got some similar issues at the high school. We've had classrooms that were 85 degrees this past spring, just a few weeks ago, because of some of the mechanical failures. Mm. The district has to be able to replace those, just like you and I would have to replace a water heater or a furnace if it goes bad in our house. The district needs funds in order to update those mechanical pieces and maintain our classrooms a suitable learning environment.
Brian Metcalf is the superintendent of Grand Ledge Public Schools. Voters in Grand Ledge go to the polls tomorrow to determine the fate of a $60 million bond proposal. Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Mark. It's great talking to you.
Lansing voters face a different proposal tomorrow. They're being asked to renew a nearly $18 million non-homestead property tax for 20 years. It would bring in an estimated $18 million into the system next year. To learn more, we welcome back Peter Spadafore, president of the Lansing School Board, who is a supporter of the renewal. Hi, Peter.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me here.
Remind us who is taxed by a non-homestead millage.
Sure. This is folks that own non-homestead property, so that's all taxable property other than your principal residence, which is your home, qualified agricultural property, qualified forestry property, supportive housing property, property occupied by a public school academy, school buildings, and industrial personal property. So it's
does that add up to most forms of property apart from personal residence?
That's correct. It's most forms of property.
Just about everything else.
Yes.
Is this general operating revenue, or is this revenue that's earmarked to particular areas?
This is general operating revenue. It's basically used to pay teachers and staff, keep the lights on, all those types of things. So it's we've been relying on this money since 1994 when Proposal A passed and changed the way school funding worked, and it really does operate the school district. It's about 11% to 12% of our operating budget.
That averages out to just over $18 million a year. To cut right to the chase, how would having to eliminate $18 million a year from your budget impact the district?
It would be devastating for the district, to say the least. We're talking 170 teaching positions is about what that equates to. We can't cut 170 teachers, so we'd be finding many, many ways. I'm sure we would not see athletics, we would not see buses, all of those types of things to add up to $18 million annually if this millage does not pass.
I know the legislature has yet to determine its support for school districts for next year. Given that, tell us about your proposed spending plan for next year.
Sure. And everything we're doing right now assumes that the voters vote yes tomorrow and pass the operating millage. So we're looking at approximately a $6 million shortfall next year. The superintendent and our budget committee that I put together a few weeks ago have been meeting regularly, and the board met Saturday morning to talk about their suggestions or their first thoughts on the issue. And we think we have some plans, but there are a lot of sort of the sacred cows that have not been talked about in years that are being considered in the very early stages. It was clear from the board and the superintendent that this year we wanted to stay out of the classroom as much as possible. We've had a lot of cuts done that have had to affect the classroom over the last 10 years, and this board is committed to, one, balancing the budget, but two, not balancing out of the back of the students.
Is there a sacred cow you can share with us?
Let's talk about transportation. It's been a difficult issue to deal with, and it's come up in front of the board since I've been there several times. We looked around the table and said we've got to look at all options on this. Might that include the elimination of high school transportation? That's an $800,000 savings right there. That gets us partway to our $6 million shortfall.
Not farming it out, not making it available to a commercial carrier.
Just
this
eliminating
high school it altogether
was one thing that was put on the table. Nothing is done yet. We've got a long time until the board has to adopt its final budget at the end of June. but we're putting everything on the table at this point in time.
So a $6 million shortfall, which has to be resolved by the end of this month?
By the end of June.
By the end of June. I beg your pardon.
We have never established a deficit budget, and we will not do that while I'm president.
You will not establish a deficit budget.
That's correct.
Now, this coincides with a discussion over which buildings and facilities the district should use and invest in the future, and which ones to repurpose or sell. Is that related? I assume that that may well be related to your $6 million shortfall for next year.
We are not looking at the facilities plan as a way to close our budget deficit because there's not enough building out there to close or sell to really close a deficit, and that's a one-time fix. You know, if I sell an elementary school for $500,000, it's just 1 year. Then I have next year's $500,000 to worry about. So we have to look at operational in terms of the budget. The facilities are being tied into our long-term strategic plan, and we started that process a few weeks ago. May 8th, we are having a special session of the Board of Education to meet with our strategic planning consultant to start talking about our goals. The administration is doing the same thing. And we've also planned or are in the process of planning 10 community input sessions throughout the month of May across the district where the community will have a chance to come in and help shape our priorities for the next 3 to 5 years. Our goal is to begin looking at decisions, how they affect the long-term product in the district rather than responding to immediate fires, you know, the $6 million deficit. We have to fix that, but what are the goals in fixing that? Where are our priorities and what do those look like? We haven't had a strategic plan on the books since I was elected and I think a few years before that. So this is a time where we've got a superintendent who's been here for 2 years now, so we're getting in the stride with working together. She's beginning to shape the administrative team into the team she really thinks can do the job. So we're organizationally ready to start making long-term decisions, and that's what the strategic plan is all about. And that's why we've sort of held off on the facilities discussion, because we want all of those decisions to be based on data and goals rather than the immediate need to close buildings or sell buildings.
What are your priorities as a board member with regard to the strategic plan? Has that started to take shape in your mind?
It started
mind?
To take shape in my head, and everything I do, I kind of look at it, how does it affect student achievement? And we're looking at, in my mind, setting up a district and goals that everything is based on how do students do better? How do we get students prepared for the next step? And, you know, it sounds odd, but a building conversation has a direct impact on student achievement because we're talking, are we going to have small schools? Are we going to have big schools? Do we need new schools? All of those factors factor in to student achievement. So that's my primary focus, is trying to get the board making decisions primarily on student achievement. And that's not to say that my colleagues don't do that, but sometimes we look at it as a dollar and cents decision, and that might not be the best solution. It's probably the solution in front of us, but we are now hopefully going to start looking long-term, 3 to 5 years, and looking at goals as well, so raising graduation rates by X number of percentage in 5 years and begin to look at those every year. Are we on track to meet those goals? How do the decisions we make help us meet those goals? That's my goals as a board member. So rather than looking at what's right in front of me, I want the board to look on the horizon when we make decisions.
We're talking with Peter Spadafore, president of the Lansing School Board, here about the upcoming budget and about the non-homestead property tax that will be voted on tomorrow. Generally, Peter, do you feel student performance would be enhanced by keeping open the three buildings that are currently functioning as high schools in Lansing, Sexton, Everett, and Eastern?
We're seeing marginal gains in our test scores, and we're seeing huge gains in our graduation rates. We still have a long way to go, and I'm not sure what we can attribute to that yet, but we did just restructure our K through 12 offerings, so we now have an emphasis on the pre-K through 3 in separate buildings, 4 through 6 in separate buildings, and two of our high schools now operate as 7 through 12. We're starting to see that impact how students do, the attitudes in the buildings, but it's only been a year and a half or two, so it's premature to know if that decision has affected student achievement quite yet.
The district's approaching the end of its first school year, taking a different approach to arts education. How has it gone from your perspective? What are you hearing from the administration on that as well?
Sure. We've heard from a lot of people on that, actually. From the administration, we hear the truth, which is, you know, as with every new endeavor, there was a rocky start, but it seems to be off to they're catching their stride and they're doing well. We've applied for several grants to help supplement those offerings, and they're one-time grants to try and, you know, develop curriculum and implement that type of thing. So it's only been about a year, a little less than a year. So as of now, I'd say it's going well. We'll reevaluate it at the end of next year and see what the teachers are saying, what the students are saying. But we've had presentations from the Integrated Arts Committee, and they have done a great job at integrating arts, physical education into the curriculum.
And good response from parents, from families?
Most parents I've talked to have, once they understand it and see what the students are doing in school, they think, yeah, this is working. I like the way we're doing this. There's still some misunderstandings, and it's different. People don't like change necessarily. But I think if anyone can do it, it's the staff at the Lansing School District. They've got this really good attitude of how can we work together to make sure that, you know, where my strengths are, I'm working on, and where your strengths are, you're helping me with, and those types of things. And it's been very fun to watch the staff think creatively on how to make this work.
A great discussion, Peter. Many thanks for coming in. Peter Spadafore, President of the Lansing School Board. Thank you.
Thank you.